Did you know buying, selling, fixing houses, and investing in real estate is easier than you think? All you need is help from a couple of experts who flipped hundreds of houses, seen most situations, and are here to share their knowledge with you. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundup Radio Show with Andrew Jobe and J.R. Reed from selltojr.com.
Hello, Rounders. Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Roundup Radio Show. So glad to have you guys along with us today. Man, we've got an exciting, exciting show ahead of us. I am Andrew Jobe, your host, joined with my co-host, Mr. J.R. Reed. J.R., how are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Doing really good.
We've got a very special person here with us. We had the roundup not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. This past roundup. And usually we have our speakers join us before and then come do the roundup. This time we had the roundup, and now our guest is here to recap, share about his experience at the roundup, and share everything they shared at the roundup. So
without further ado, we have Josue. Good long time friend. I get his name wrong. Josue Yanis, yeah. From VanCom, yes. CEO and founder of VanCom Virtual Assistants, which we actually use. VanCom
we do.
Virtual
yeah.
Assistants we within do. Our business.
We sure do.
And we love VanCom.
I love it. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
As long as you're providing value, that's what matters, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you did so well at the roundup in person and gave so much value, we had to have you on the show so the Rounders, who are our listeners,
yeah.
could get the same kind of value.
It was Absolutely. Almost like an audition, you know? We wanted to test you out at the roundup and see if
I
it would
passed.
Work. Yeah.
I passed the test.
So you're here now. Congratulations.
Thank God. Yeah. I didn't know it was a test, but you know, I'm glad that I performed to the best of my abilities.
We didn't want to stress you out too much in front of everybody.
Yeah. So we did good, and hopefully all the people that went, they got something good out of it. You know, for me, I do this every day, so sometimes I forget how simple and basic the things that we do are. But you know, really, all it just boils down to is hard work, and I'm really excited to get into it and give the exact framework for what I do so that people can go out and do it themselves, because it's really not that difficult. It's just some very basic steps you need to take, and you can completely transform your business.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So just so the listeners know, would you just give us the, you know, 20-second elevator pitch of who VanCom is and what y'all provide?
Yeah. So VanCom is a virtual assistant center. We have people from all over the world. We have people in Egypt, Colombia, Argentina, Brazil, the Philippines. And so we do anything now. We started initially just doing cold calling, but then since in the last year and a half, we've transitioned into lead management. We do property management. We have a guy that has like 80 Airbnb units that we manage the entire portfolio for like with two people.
Wow.
So it's grown over time from just cold calling to property management. I think what I really want to start focusing and hunkering down on is administrative assistance, because I have a really good system of how to create systems and processes for my business and now for other clients as well. So yeah, we essentially help to delegate the mundane tasks that you don't want to do as a business owner, so you can focus on the high level, high paying tasks that make you the most money.
For sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. What VanCom is. That was more than 20 seconds.
No, that's great, though. But virtual assistants, right? So correct me if I'm wrong, but virtual assistants are essentially, typically, they're offshore employees that you kind of bring into your company and kind of delegate different tasks and bring into your processes that, like you said, free up free time. That's essentially what a virtual assistant is?
Yeah. And a lot of the times, you know, people think that, you know, it's like a robot somewhere off in another island. But, I mean, oh, my God, these guys are more than qualified. A lot of them have, you know, college degrees or they are in college. I've hired architects, doctors, dentists, attorneys from different parts of the world. So the ability of having some high-level people working in your business, I think really puts an edge, you know, because you can scale a lot quickly with manpower with a lot lower cost. So, you know, I think business should be, you know, you want to keep a really large door open, let the money flow in, and then have a small door on the back, let a little money flow out the back door, right? So it's not how much you make, it's how much you get to keep.
For sure.
Yeah.
100%. So give us, you know, let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Of how VanCom came to be.
Yeah.
Real quick. And then I think it would be good to share the same insights that you shared over at the Roundup with the Rounder so they can, you know, implement virtual assistants in their companies and scale their businesses with these high level people that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But for, you know, a fraction of the cost of what it would hire, what it would cost to hire somebody here in the US.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started I started in business doing wholesaling. And so I was doing wholesaling real estate. And I kept on hiring people and firing them, and there was a lot of turnover. I ended up just getting frustrated. I would pour all my heart and all of my energy into someone, and they would just take all the information and leave, right, and go do their own thing. So I knew that I needed to do something different. So I found virtual assistants, and we started with one, and we coached that person. We grew it, and over time, we're like, hey, you know, these people are pretty smart. I think I can teach them how to close. And so we did. We had a couple closers couple years ago, and then it just transitioned to where people were coming to me asking me for help. And they said, hey, you know, you're pretty good at, you know, dealing with virtual assistants. Can I pay you so that you can handle my virtual assistants? And I said, yeah, of course. So it started with one client. It was a really good friend of mine. And then he scaled it up to like 6 callers at the time. And then at that point, we knew we had something, right? So we started actually going out and pursuing new clients. And over time, it grew. We grew the company significantly. And yeah, we're here now, and we're ready to take on more clients, help more people out, and evidently just help people delegate the things that they don't want to be doing, right? So that they can focus on making those big bucks.
For sure.
Like you, JR, you go out and you're closing deals all day long and making the big bucks, man. That's what it's all about.
I don't know about all day long, but yeah, you definitely take some tasks off our hands, and we're starting to add more with you guys because y'all do such a good job with the callers.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you talk about delegating, you know, for a lot of business owners, a lot of operators, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
So when you're starting to work with new clients and new business owners and stuff, how do you have that conversation, and how do you get people in the mindset and the framework of this is how you can delegate, this is what you need to delegate, and this is how you can successfully do that?
No, that's a great question, Andrew. I actually have a spreadsheet that I started using recently, and what we do first, I first run, you know, people through sort of like a quiz, right? How much resistance do you have to delegating? And it just gives me a good frame of mind of knowing where the client is at. After that, we go through all the tasks and we list them all out, right? All the tasks that you want to actually delegate. And then we start just classifying each task individually. The next step is we put all those tasks into 4 quadrants. The things that you absolutely need to delegate right now so that you can clear up your time and do the things that you need to be doing. And then the second quadrant is, okay, once we delegate that, what's next? Third quadrant, third things to delegate. And the 4th things are like things that you actually enjoy, things that you want to like delegate at the very end. I think whenever people hire someone, they want to just like throw everything at them, right?
For sure.
Here's all this work. Go do it. No instruction. And then, you know, they end up being unsuccessful.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people haven't had success with people, you know, in other countries like in Egypt or in Colombia, because they don't take the steps to do it methodically. Right. And once you have all the things in the 4 quadrants, the final thing that we do is we look at the things that we're going to delegate in the 1st quadrant, and then we set a deadline. Okay, when's the deadline by when we want to delegate all of these tasks? Right. And in doing so, those tasks, we create an actual process. Right. And all it is just a process is a step-by-step thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Sort of like baking a cake. First, you open up the flour, then you pour it into the bowl, and blah, blah, blah. Same thing with processes. This is the task. How do you actually get this task done? So we create a process for that. Next step, what's the process for this next task? Once we do all that, 2 things happen. Number one, there's clarity for the virtual assistant. A lot of times, virtual assistants get frustrated themselves because they feel like, man, like they don't know what their work is. So how do you measure success if you don't have it clearly defined? Right.
If you don't even know really how you're supposed to do what they're asking you to do.
Yeah, yeah. So then a lot of virtual assistants get frustrated themselves too because they're like, well, I'm here. I mean, they're paying me, but they don't have any fulfillment because there's no or any joy in their work because they don't know, number one, what they need to do, and number two, what success looks like. So by putting it down on paper, you define what success looks like, and then you can assign KPIs for it, right? This is how you can know you're successful. At the end of the day, this is how you can feel good about the work that you're doing. And then number two, you're going to have a process. If that virtual assistant doesn't work out, we can plug and play and go and find someone else, plug them into your business, and business as usual. It takes a lot less time to onboard someone at the same time. We actually we went through a process, and we recently replaced our leadership team, and it took a lot of work, a lot of work, but we're able to knock it out in about a month, month and a half. But again, we have great leaders, and you need to have good people in your team. Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So that process you were describing, when a new client comes on, are you helping them go through that process, or like walking them through that process of like, hey, here's what, give me one of the tasks that you're wanting this virtual assistant to handle for you, and then you walk them through how to do that? Or
yeah. So the steps to become a client for VanComm, normally we have a discovery call where we look at what they're needing. After the discovery call, we send them an email with a breakdown of pricing, everything. Once a client pays an onboarding fee, we actually have a sit down and we go through everything that I just mentioned, right? So delegation exercise, list down all your tasks. Let's put that into the quadrants. And now let's have a deadline for when we want to delegate all these actions, right? All these tasks. After that, I go and I find an actual virtual assistant. And when I find them, I give them a little bit of training on how to actually create the processes, which, by the way, it's not very difficult. I think the system that I decided to embody is it's called Profit Factory. His name's Tim something, but you can Google it and you can see the it's literally just a Google Drive that has like spreadsheets of how to do it.
Profit Factory is the name of that?
Profit Factory, I believe, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't take any credit for it. You know, this guy created an amazing system, and it's a template. You know, you just take it and run with it. And
of how to create processes?
Of how to create processes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then it has the foundation. So it gives you the template for how to create the process. The first spreadsheet or the first process in it is how to create processes. So you open it up, and it's a step-by-step guide on how to create processes. So really, you know, you just need to have a virtual assistant read that and then show them a little bit of how ours looks like so that they can have an idea. They can go in. They can read it. Something that I want to add here, I think it's very important to create like a mission statement for your company. I feel like a lot of people don't treat their business as an actual business. So taking the time to create a mission statement, to create the core values, to create the vision of where the company's going in the next 5 years, I think it's extremely important. That way someone feels like, every virtual assistant can feel like they're a part of something bigger. They're not just a random person, right? This is how your position fills into the larger vision of the entire company.
For sure.
And this is why you're important to us. You know, I think we all, as human beings, have a natural sense of belonging. So we want to feel like we belong. We want to feel like we're part of something bigger. By creating the mission statement, the core values, they feel like they're part of it. You know,
what makes you say? Because it sounds like you're speaking from experience.
Yeah,
and there might be a reason why you're saying, you know, a lot of companies should create this this mission statement and the strategy behind that, and so that their virtual assistants feel like they belong.
Yeah. I'm definitely speaking from experience. I think I first hired a virtual assistant probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and I failed miserably. I mean, I just fell flat on my face. But I didn't know what I knew now. And so one of the main things that I see from back then and now is that the people just weren't bought in. You know, their heart wasn't in it. You know, and so
the virtual assistant that you hired? Yeah.
Yeah, and you need to understand, like, all these, you know, virtual assistants are people. You know, they're people just like us, and, you know, they're somewhere else in another part of the world. But they have the same creative power that we do, right? And if you can tap into it, I think you can have a lot of success. And so back then, I remember I would give them tasks, and they would get done, but it wasn't like there wasn't like a drive to get them done. There wasn't like a like, man, I want to make my boss happy. You know, I want to make my boss proud. And I feel like my people today, it's not that they even view me as a boss. They view me as a leader, right? I want to make sure that I help our leader hit his vision because I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of the vision, not necessarily of I'm following this guy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like they're behind the big vision, not behind a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the feeling of belonging and being a part of something that's bigger than them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So powerful. It's extremely powerful.
For sure. You're tapping into, you know, innate human nature at that point.
And yeah, yeah. And, you know, the creative powers of the universe, man. I want to bring up a quick example. Like yesterday, I showed my team our P&L for where we're at right now with our clients and our expenses. And I told them, hey, we need to find new clients, right? And so we all went out, and within an hour, we cold called a guy that it was a homeowner, but the guy was like, hey, you're calling me right now. You're a cold caller. I need some cold callers. Can you please have your boss call me? Within an hour of us having that little team huddle. And
wow.
I'm like, dude, that's incredible. You know, this is what happens, you know. The universe is always ready to say yes, right? All we have to do is ask.
Sure.
So go out and ask. And this guy's in Egypt. The cold caller's in Egypt. And the leader that brought me that lead is in Egypt. And they cold call a guy here in Houston.
For one of your clients?
One that's going to be. And I texted him today. He's like, yeah, I'm interested. I need some help, blah, blah, blah. I haven't talked to him yet. But I think he's going to, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, he might turn into a client. The point being is, you know, don't discount virtual assistants as just robots, because they have, you know, they're humans and they have access to, you know, infinite intelligence also, just like you and I do. So, you know, if they could all be behind the vision, they could help you realize that vision.
For sure.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty incredible, though.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's super powerful.
Super. It's huge.
Yeah. Makes just doing happy. Their job and they find somebody that's like interested in getting some callers.
Well, what's funny though is that before we had that little huddle, before I told him like had a serious powwow with them, that hadn't happened before. And then we have a huddle. Within an hour of us having that huddle, someone comes up, you know, from
just like that.
Just like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where focus goes, energy flows.
That's right. 100%.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. You've got to make them aware.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you never would have had that powwow and let them be part of the vision,
right,
they wouldn't have never, they would, if that guy would have said that to your caller, he'd be like, well, yeah, sounds good. Have a good one. And
right.
Moved on and never said anything to anybody.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you start from the top down, give the vision to my leaders, and then my leaders have their people that they're leading also. So yeah. The guy that brought me the lead is the coach. So he coaches the co-callers one-on-one. So he went and he in turn communicated that the vision to his people, right, to the co-callers, and said, hey, we need to find some clients. So just keep an eye out whenever you're talking to someone, you know, and we got it.
Literally, just like that.
Just like that, yeah.
Cool. I love that.
It's
well,
beautiful.
Well, how, I mean, you've got these people all over the world that are, what countries are you working with people in?
Mainly Egypt and Colombia. Those are the two main hotspots for me. But I'm not opposed to go anywhere. Like, I've looked at people in El Salvador, Honduras, Costa Rica, Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil. One of my leaders is in Brazil. She's Venezuelan, but she lives in Brazil right now. So really, I like the southern, I like South America. Primarily, I feel like people in the Philippines, because they're in such different time zones, they're not going to last a long time. You know, you can only work at night on your computer with chickens crowing in the back for so long. You know what I mean? So
it's always the chickens in the background.
Especially in the Philippines, yeah. I've been there personally, and you hear the chickens even in person. That's funny.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
Well, cool. So how are you going about finding these people in these different countries?
Yeah, so let's go into, I'm gonna tell you guys exactly what I do and how I do it. It's very, very basic. Anyone can do it. And hopefully if anyone's listening and they want to find a virtual assistant, hopefully at this point I've convinced them that a virtual assistant is a great addition to their business. This is exactly how I do it. So step one, there's a website. It's called Upwork. So in order to have success with Upwork, you need to have a great job post. In order to have a great job post, you need to have the exact tasks that you need. So what I would do first is write down all your tasks, and then you go into ChatGPT, and you write them all down, and you say, create a job post for a virtual assistant that's bilingual, if you need bilingual, that can do all of these tasks. And ChatGPT will bust out a beautiful job post. You can make it, and then you can narrow it down a little bit. Hey, make it a little bit more professional, make it a little bit more casual, depending on what you need. Make it a little bit more aggressive for like a sales guy, you know, like make it more competitive economically or financially. So you do the job post, you go, you throw it up on Upwork, and then it's a numbers game. So how many resumes do you need to go through to find one great guy? Typically, we go through a lot. I don't think I've kept track of like how many actual resumes we go through on Upwork. But if I had to guess, it'd be in the hundreds, you know, like 100.
You have that many people applying to your job post?
Well, we go and we find people too, and we invite people to apply too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So once you create the job post, you have to invite people to apply. And we're just like clicking, going down the list, click, just going.
Trying to get eyeballs on it.
Yeah. As many as you can. Once people apply, you start texting them back and forth. But it takes, what I can tell you, it takes like 5 to 10 solid interviews to find one great person.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes quite a bit. So it's a lot of work, but, you know, again, this is a framework. This is exactly what I do. So Upwork is a really great option. Another option that you can use is Facebook. Facebook groups has a ton of like co-working groups, and they're called like expats living in Colombia, or expats living in blah blah blah. Now, granted, they're gonna want more, you know, price per dollar.
Expats being people who have lived in the U.S. for some time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you can find Facebook groups that are filled with these people that were either born in the U.S. and maybe now they just live over there. Maybe they spent some time over here. They got deported, but they were living here. They know the culture. They know the language.
Those are the people you want, so they can pick up on the idiosyncrasies.
I think that's right.
Probably something like that.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So they can pick up on those things, and the humor. That's a big thing too. So yeah. If you've got, you know, people talking to people here in the U.S. and they're born in another country and they've lived there their whole life, they're not going to get the humor that we have here, even though they might speak the same language.
Right. Yeah. No, that's huge. This is especially important for, I think, sales positions, you know?
For sure.
But, you know, if it's going to be like someone that's like an admin or just doing things behind the scenes, you really don't need like an expat, because you're going to end up paying a lot more.
For sure.
So you can, you know, find someone. There's other Facebook groups, and they're called like you can just type in virtual assistants El Salvador, virtual assistants Colombia, you know, every country. And most countries have, you know, one big Facebook group. Go in there, find it, and then you go on there and you post. I have found some scammers in there, so you have to tread a little bit.
What do you mean scammers?
They just pretend to, like, you know, want some sort of work, and then they'll start working, and then they've gotten really good at pretending like they're working and just collecting a paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to be really, really careful with your interviewing process at that point.
They'll do just enough work to get by.
Yeah. Not only that, but just like, just scammy people. I can already read them, you know, like in my initial message and what they're asking and what they're saying, whether someone's really truthfully wants to work or just wants something out of you.
Yeah.
You know? So it takes a little while to get through that process.
Cool.
But yeah, once you find the people, you interview them, and then the way that I manage them is a system called Hubstaff.
Okay.
Hubstaff basically takes screenshots of their computer, and you can change the intervals. It could be 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15, 30, a minute, whatever you want it to be.
For sure. Well, hold on, hold on. Before we get into the management and yeah, how you yeah, do all that, I don't want to skip over because I think the part that most people struggle on in virtual assistants is actually finding them. Yeah. So you've given some really good info of like your processes. So I think it'd be a good idea to go through and unpack some of that.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, what does it look like when I start making that post on Facebook? And what does it look like? Like, what's the process for how many people do I actually have to talk to on Facebook to find somebody and that sort of thing? But I think we're coming up to a break. So why don't we, on the back side of the show,
yeah,
cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Let's do it.
Cliffhanger.
When we come back, we'll talk about all that.
For sure. So stay tuned for this quick message from Sell to JR.
Welcome back, Rounders. So glad you guys are still with us. We are talking and unpacking everything virtual assistant with Josue of VanCom. You know, I want to touch on a couple of things that you said in the first half. And, you know, Rounders, we all have experience with telemarketers calling us, or you call your credit card, or you call the airline, and you get shipped over to some call center, and you can barely understand the person you're talking to, heavy, heavy accents and that sort of thing. And that's an outsourced task from a company in a customer service position. That's really not what we're talking about here. So I want to make sure that there's no misconceptions on what a virtual assistant is and kind of, you know, Rounders, what maybe some of your experiences are with you know, offshore or, you know, customer service roles. Really, a virtual assistant is, it's an integral part to your life and to your business that, like Josue was talking about, that's really taking things off your plate. And so the way Josue built his business was around cold callers and marketing and that sort of thing. But what we're getting into is really, what are the things in your life that are routine, task-oriented, mundane, that somebody somewhere else can support and help you with?
Yeah.
And so the things that even come to my mind, because we work, like we said, we work with VanCom on a lot of different marketing pieces, but we also hire internally for a lot of administrative things. We've got accountants that work with us. We've got property managers that work with us. Jared and I both have administrative assistants that work for us. And so if you think about the things that you do, if you're out there, if you're, you know, we're big Amazon people, we're big HEB pickup groceries, that's something that assistant can do, is your weekly grocery list, scheduling that for you.
Literally, they can order your groceries for you.
Yeah, they can.
Things yeah. like that. Setting reservations. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've set date night and I've just said, hey, you know, set reservation this time frame at, you know, these three restaurants. And usually me and my wife go to, you know, a handful of restaurants. We're not going to a bunch of different places. So it's like, which one is available?
And one in a date night, y'all go to a handful?
Yeah, yeah. We just hop around.
It's an interesting idea for a date night.
Yeah.
It is. It is. So there's a lot of value that these virtual assistants can create in your life. And really what Josue is talking about is buying back your time. You know, this is a concept to where you're outsourcing these tasks, but what you're getting in return is your time back to spend more time with your family or focus on what you said at the beginning of the show, you know, revenue focused, profit generating activities. So I just wanted to, Rounders, think about the things in your life, not necessarily from a marketing perspective that I need maybe like cold callers for, but administrative things, routine things in your business, in your personal life that these guys, these virtual assistants can add significant value. The other thing I'll add is, you know, you talked about the expats. Most people, a lot of the, you know, virtual assistants that we employ, they were educated in the U.S. They came here with their families very, very young. They've moved back home, started raising their own families. And so a lot of them went to university in America or, you know, some European place.
Or high school.
Yeah. Yeah, high school. They are dual language. They speak Spanish fluently as well as English with very little to no accent at all. So a lot of misconceptions about maybe what a virtual assistant is, you know, as you correlate that or think of maybe customer service roles, but these are high value, high out intellectual people producing within your life and your company.
For sure. So on the front side of the show, you explain the process for how to delegate tasks properly to virtual assistants. I think that was super powerful what you were talking about too, because, you know, even myself having virtual assistants for several years now, I still struggle with delegation.
Yeah.
Big time. It's still, you and I have talked offline about this.
Yeah.
And it's still probably one of my major pain points in my life. And so being able to get a virtual assistant who can take things that, you know, bother you off of your plate.
Right.
Because we all have things that we worry about.
Yeah.
Whether, and a lot of it is just super mundane tasks that we just don't want to do, at least for me. And so if I can get those super mundane tasks off my plate and have some, and hire somebody else for $6 an hour or $8 an hour to worry about that for me, even though it's, you know, it might be a mundane task and maybe I could get it done in a couple hours a week, it's way worth it for me just to give that to somebody else. And it's done better because they're better prepared for it.
Right.
They love doing that kind of stuff compared to I hate doing that kind of thing.
Right.
There's somebody out there, there's probably a task in everybody's life that they hate doing, but there's somebody in this world that would love to do that task.
Love doing that task, yeah.
Literally.
I personally, I love filling out forms. I don't know what it is. But like going to a doctor's office or whatever, you put a form in front of me and it's like, fill out this form. I like doing that. I think it's fun.
Really?
Yeah.
That's I hate forms.
Yeah. I do too.
Whenever I get forms, I try to run through it as quickly as possible. Sometimes I scribble through it. I hate forms. I like hate it with a passion.
Yeah.
It's funny.
For whatever reason, it's like, hand me a pen and a clipboard. I'm like, let's get to work.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it's time to have some fun.
Your wife is so lucky. She never has to fill out another form.
Oh, I don't think she's ever filled out anything.
Since she's been with you?
Yeah.
I love it. That's so great.
I hate forms.
Yeah, yeah, me too. But I think that's an excellent point, Andrew. Like, a lot of the times you don't understand that there's people out there that are, we're all different, right? And so whenever, one of the ways that I interview people is I have this program called Culture Index. So it helps me find out their strengths and their weaknesses. So when I first got started with Culture Index, I thought, you know, people that were not like me, like there was something wrong with them, you know, and then
Can you back up for a second and explain what Culture Index is real quick? They're like 10-second overview.
It's essentially a personality assessment, and it provides about 7 to 9 different points on different characteristics of a person. So like it measures autonomy, sociability, whether someone can handle different tasks at the same time or maybe likes to do the tasks at the same one at an order, like step 1, step 2, step 3. The fourth one is measuring whether someone is they like to follow conformity, if they like to follow the rules or they like to bend the rules. I think that's important to know about an individual. It measures their emotional intelligence. And the last one is if they're creative, how creative they are. So that's Culture Index. Basically, does that...
Yeah, that's a great explanation. Good. Yeah.
So basically, whenever I first started, I'm like, oh, dude, you're not like me. Yeah, you suck. And then I realized I can't run my business without the people that like doing the stuff that I don't like doing, right? So then the people that are opposite as I am are the people that now I love the most, because dude, I wouldn't be able to run my business without these guys, you know?
Yeah. They do all the things that you're not good at.
They do all the things that I'm not good at. And so if I don't have to worry about filling out a contract or filling out forms and I can just focus on talking to people and closing deals, man, I'm happy, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of the biggest misconceptions or one of the biggest misconceptions that I had about the test is the survey. There's no right or wrong answer when it comes to people, right? It's not like it's not a good thing or a bad thing if you're an introvert or an extrovert. There's just pros and cons to each one. So understanding the pros and cons and understanding how to give you a role that best fits your personality to set you up for success, I think that's the most important thing that I learned about the survey and, you know, dealing with people.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if someone was going to say, man, I'm sold, I need a virtual assistant to do, you know, some things for me, do you have kind of like a template or a shortcut of like, if they found someone, what are the key, or maybe like, what are the most three important or five important questions that you would ask that person or that during the interview process that helps you kind of gauge, is this going to be a good fit or not?
Yeah, great question. So backing up real quick, the way that I find people first is Upwork and Facebook, right?
Yep.
I went through that. Basically, this is just grunt work. Find as many people as you can and then get them scheduled on a Zoom call. typically whenever we're looking for a VA for a client, dude, we get on the calendar. We have the calendar open, and we're talking to people on Facebook and on Upwork, and we're just scheduling interviews. Schedule them. But the interview is, I'd say, one of the most important parts of the interview, the entire process to find someone. So as far as questions are concerned, to see the personality of the person, I like to ask very specific questions. I like to ask things like, so number one, I ask people, what does success mean to you, right? And it's a very broad question.
Super broad.
Very broad. But it gives me a little bit of a sentiment of where they're at in life, you know? Like there's some people that say success means having, being able to pay my bills and being able to support my family, you know? And like, you don't think about those things, right? Because, you know, if you're in business or you're looking to invest in real estate, typically that's already handled for you.
Yeah. Right? It's just basic.
That's just the basic for us. Right. Yeah. So understanding people and what success means to them is huge to understand what's important to them. You know, I ask things like, what gets you up in the morning, you know, just to see people. It's a different question than just asking what's your why.
Yeah.
Right. What gets you going?
And Andrew, what gets you up in the morning?
Coffee.
Coffee. Okay. Yeah.
It's not the kids. It's the coffee. yeah. So that's another great question. Another question that I ask is very specific related to the role that I'm interviewing in. So if I'm interviewing for, let's say, a sales role, I'll ask a question like, give me a time when you were handling a difficult prospect. Give me the situation and tell me how you handle it. Right.
Okay.
Or if
what kind of responses do you get to a question like that?
All sorts of things, like stories. Story. I'm looking for a story, right? So,
and what in the story are you looking for? Because obviously, hopefully, they're going to be able to produce some kind of story, whether it's a real one or a made up one.
Yeah. Well, typically, you can tell if it's made up, you know. And if it's made up, then it makes me lose a little bit of confidence in the person. But if it is true, then I'm looking to, in that question, I'm looking to see if someone has the ability to think in complex terms so that they can figure out a difficult solution. Like I had this difficult client and this is exactly the steps that I took to solve that problem. So more than anything, I'm looking to see the problem solving skills, right? Because I can teach you my sales process, but I can't teach you how to be quick on your feet whenever you have to be, right? Yeah. So those are the things that I'm looking for, the specific questions, you know.
Cool.
Also, like another great question is, if you had to win, this is mainly for salespeople. If you had to choose between, if you had the choice in a competition to choose between winning, getting first place, or trying your best, what would you choose and why?
That's an interesting question.
What would you choose, JR?
Winning or trying my best?
Yeah.
Wouldn't trying my best mean that I'm winning?
No, because you could suck at it and try your hardest and still lose.
Yeah, that's why they have the Olympics. All those people are trying their best.
I don't lose.
You don't lose?
No.
You don't like? So you're there to win.
I'm there to win.
Okay, so you want to win. So you'll
but I'm not going to like trip the guy running next or whatever, you know, to win.
But that's not what I'm asking.
Hey, I don't know the answer to that question.
I feel like this is a trick question.
I feel like it is a trick question. I think I'd go with like winning. I'm going to take first place.
If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would probably say you asked the question was what's more important to me?
What would you choose? If you had the option to choose between winning or trying your best, what would you choose and why?
I just feel like if I'm winning, I know I tried my best. But if I tried my best and I didn't win, then I feel like I didn't try.
No, I want to try my best because let's say that I'm running a race against a bunch of people who are, let's say, amputees. I wouldn't have to try. I know that's a terrible analogy.
That's a great analogy. It's
like just left field.
I know, but if I'm running
you're definitely
going to
get first place in that
I'm not even trying.
I don't know.
And then like I feel terrible if I'm like in your face to these guys because they only have one leg.
You might still lose.
Yeah.
I know some of them have those like spring things on their legs, they probably the pogo.
They could probably kick your ass. Yeah,
they probably would kick.
I think I'm still winning.
I'm going with
winning.
So in a sales role, I'm looking to hear that someone wants to win.
Okay,
so, JR, you didn't get hired.
Dang, I'm sorry, sales.
You're done with
you're fired,
now.
JR.
You see where my left field like. Thought process.
JR's the
goes.
Sales guy, and he's like, I just want to try
but,
hard.
But JR's a good guy, man. You know, so he puts people first. You know, and sometimes you know there is such a thing as wanting to win more than putting people first, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where you know a lot of people get in trouble, and like in business, and do bad things. But I think your heart's in the right place, and I think that's key too, especially in what we do. I think it's extremely important to make sure you put the people first, so you can help them out and actually. Get a good deal, you know.
Just for the record, I absolutely hate losing. I hate it.
I hate losing too.
Hate it.
Yeah. That's why you're racing amputees.
I would trip one of the amputees to win the race if he was gonna like beat me.
Yeah, if I'm being serious.
But
of course. I love it.
Real estate investor trips.
Yeah,
that trips amputee.
Radio show goes rogue.
Sell to JR, trips amputee, just to win the race.
Oh, man, this is going to be terrible.
My first question would be, why are you even racing amputees?
I don't know.
You know?
That's where his mind goes. He's just like, is it worth winning or not?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think
I would step foot in that race, man. I'd be like, you know, I'm going to step this one out.
I know, it's terrible, but I don't know, for some reason I was just thinking about scenarios where I wouldn't feel good about winning.
Got
yeah
it.
I so can maybe see that
yeah
I think I still want to win
no yeah. I'd still want to win. I don't care if I'm racing amputees. I'm gonna go.
You feel real dumb if amputees beat you in a race though.
Yeah, I'd feel like yeah.
Yeah,
I would not feel good. That's a good one.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So these are some of the questions you ask. I like that. That's very creative, honestly. I love because a lot of people are like, so tell me about yourself or, yeah. You know, these things. But asking these very direct, you know, what does success mean to you? You know, what gets you up in the morning? It really allows them to, they probably don't get those questions typically.
Yeah,
so it forces them kind of to like take a step back and be like, oh, like this isn't, I got to come up with a response to this.
Right.
And then it gives you probably some information to dig a little bit of like, okay, well, you know, what gets you up in the morning? Well, I'm, you know, raising three kids and this and that, and
yeah.
Hear more about who they actually are as a person.
Yeah. The last question that I do want to mention is always ask, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? I had one guy that I interviewed, and he's like, yeah, I want to start a virtual assistant center and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so you want me to hire you so you can learn what I'm doing and be a competitor? And he's like, well, no, maybe we can be partners and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, this is not going to work out.
Yeah,
thank you for, I'm glad that I asked the question, right?
Yeah.
Like I could have potentially hired someone that could have sabotaged my business from the inside out.
We get those a lot of time.
Yeah.
I feel like, cause we're always hiring, you know, salespeople and, or at least always interviewing, maybe not always hiring. And I love it when people come and tell us like, yeah, you know, I really want to start a business where like I'm a direct to seller. And we're buying, and I'm buying, you know, I'm buying from people who really need help out of properties, and I'm taking those properties and I'm flipping them. I'm like, so you want to start a business doing what we do? Yeah, I want to come there to learn what y'all do. I'm like, oh,
yeah, there's a door.
I appreciate you letting me know right up front.
Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome.
But if you wouldn't have asked the question, you wouldn't have known.
It's true.
Yeah.
It also makes me think, like, you're not even smart enough to lie to me.
Yeah. In that case, it really don't deserve to be there. Man.
Literally.
And truthfully speaking, those are the people that probably won't start the business because they're already, like, you know, talking that way of, like,
for sure.
Oh, you know, don't have enough common sense to kind of mask that concept.
Yeah.
However, just the idea of that in their head, they are the ones that can cause the most damage with inside your organization, whether or not they go start it or not, or successful at it or not. It's just that's the issue there, is bringing someone inside an organization that has ideas of not contributing, only taking from the organization so that they can do their own thing versus growing. Like you talked about earlier, buying into the vision, buying into the core values, contributing to the goal of the team versus what can I take away from this opportunity?
Right.
Absolutely.
Dude, if they wanted to start their own business, they wouldn't be interviewing with you. They would have already done it, you know. When I started a business without knowing anything about real estate.
Yeah,
I figured we didn't.
We didn't go work for someone to learn real estate to start our own business. We just said, we'll figure this out along the way, I guess.
Literally.
Started it, yeah. You got to fly the plane. You got to build the plane as you're flying it.
Just make sure the wings and everything are on before you.
Make sure you got enough distance between the cliff and the ground.
Exactly.
Give you enough time to build
That's
it.
That's all that matters.
So you've asked these questions. You've got a good pool of candidates and everything. What happens next? I mean, you're like, this is a good fit. Come work for us.
So once we find the right person, typically we don't want to hire multiple people for the same position. We hire only one person, then we start the onboarding process, right? So we give them a contract for employment. We get them onboarded, create emails, all that good stuff. But the way that I train people is I have a process for that. So I have in my master list of processes, I have one process for onboarding someone. So what that looks like is step one, I show them a little bit about the business, who is VanCom, what are the core values of VanCom, why are you working here, this is how your role impacts the rest of the company, and then I actually run them through the tasks that they're going to be doing, right? And so that's a combination of like step-by-step things, and then I also have videos if it's something that's maybe a little bit abstract that I wouldn't be able to write down on a word. And it's like completely self-guided. For sales processes, for salespeople, I have them watch a bunch of sales training. I have like John Martinez. I have, what's this guy out of Florida? I forget his name. And then I created one myself too.
Steven
Morales. Yeah. I bought his. I bought John Martinez, and so they go through the whole training. I created my own video where I showed my sales process with my team, and so they watch that too. At the end, whenever they're done watching it all, then I quiz them on specific questions about the sales process to make sure that they really understand it. And then that's it. Typically that takes about 3 days, and then I put them to work. Whenever I put them to work, typically I like to shadow them a little bit, make sure that they know what they're doing, and then afterwards I just let them go do their own thing and then manage them through KPIs. So we have a weekly meeting every Monday. We meet and we look at the key performance indicators, right? Yeah. For salespeople, how many calls did you make? For the coach and the company is how many one-on-ones did you have with our callers? Actually, right now, I have my coach also doing outbound reach to get new clients. So how many people did you schedule for next week? How many interactions did you have? Things like that. So I keep the KPIs for everyone. I have a quality control person that I think we need to talk about putting you into your business.
Yeah.
I think we both completely forgot about that.
No, my funny that you say that. My virtual assistant is getting with... I think it's Rami. She's working with Rami today on it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good.
So.
Oh, look at that.
That's why you need a virtual assistant.
It's already happening. Y'all didn't even know
We didn't even know. And your people are talking to my people. And
I'll have my people reach out to your people.
Yeah. That's great. Man, that's amazing. So they're having a conversation. We're actually doing this for you already now, huh?
Right.
And I had no idea.
Literally.
I had no clue. This is the power of virtual assistants, Business happens without you being there. And I trust my people to do the right thing, and they knock it out, man. So the quality control guy, his KPIs is how many leads did you qualify this past week? And so he has a goal that he has to hit. Every week he is on target if he's at 80% of his goal. So as long as he's at 80% or more of his goal, you're good. If he's below 80%, then we have a conversation. What happened? What do we have to do? How can I help you? Right. And it's never, I never treat anyone like you never want to demean anyone. You want to be of service to your people. Right.
Sure.
So how can I help you? Right. As a leader, you have to be the one that's willing to understand what someone's going through, see their pitfalls, see where they're falling short, and then help them with those pitfalls so that they can hit their goals every week.
My thought is because a lot of people, when they hire virtual assistants or they hire people to work in their business, even if they're not virtual, they're like, well, this person works for me. I like to take the mindset of I actually work for them.
Yes.
It's my job to make their job easier for them to do.
Yep.
And so how do I make them more successful in their job?
Right, right, right. Ultimately, if they're more successful in your business, they're going to contribute a lot more.
For sure.
And your business will grow. So I have the exact same mindset. I work for my people. How can I help you out? What do you need? And I make sure that they're always happy.
Because if they're successful and they're happy, your business is going to flourish.
It's going to flourish. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to grow. It's going to be amazing.
For sure. So how do you keep track of all these people? Because you've got all these different virtual assistants. You know, let's say I'm a brand new person and I'm going to hire my first virtual assistant. How should I keep, like, what would you tell me to keep track?
Man, I would say a lot of spreadsheets, man.
Okay. Google Sheets.
Google Sheets, man. Google Sheets is my best friend.
Okay.
There are Google Sheets. Actually, if you go on there and you look at the, you go on the tables app, there's like a little table section.
Yep.
You open up the tables and they have pre-made formats of different things that you might need that could be helpful for you to run your business. So, like there's one for project management. There's one for sales, like to keep track of sales numbers. Dude, there's a whole bunch of tables in
there. Is this in the, oh wow, we're about to run out of time. Dang, Will. Producer Will comes in and just cut us off quick.
Cut us off.
Okay. Josue, I hate to cut us off like this.
No worries.
We got to do it. What is the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me is by sending me an email or texting me. So my phone number is 956-827-7697. I'm going to repeat it one more time, 956-827-7697. And my email is Josue, J-O-S-U-E, at Vancom, VANCOM.io, Vancom.io.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, bro.